Welcome to Earth2.net, the show, episode 1152. Holiday greetings, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful, like, holiday Christmas segment with both me, Will Ackerman, and, as always,
Skylar Queen.
How are you doing, Skylar? How's your holidays going?
Pretty well. How are yours so far?
All right. You know, it's early. We had snow last week, so to kind of date this, that was the 2nd of December, and it's just now starting to melt. We're supposed to have another round later this week.
We've had a few snowfalls here, but most of them have just kind of gone away real fast. There is a snowstorm that is in progress right now, so we'll see if that sticks around.
But yeah, you know, it's the Christmas season. Any big plans?
Oh, well, you know, going back to see my parents, and all of that stuff. Presents for the niece and the nephew, dinners, usual thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty I work a lot this month. I have, like, a few days off, and one of those days off, I am helping my roommate's mom move to closer to us. So it's like, oh, well, whatever.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing it partially because, you know, when she's living closer, that's more often I get free food.
Fair.
But yeah, other than that, though, I mean, I'm planning ahead for New Year's Eve because, you know, I have my yearly little party, and yeah, that's about it.
I hope that goes very nicely.
It should. Okay, so today we are talking about Santa Baby, which is a 2001 animated Christmas special produced by Rankin and Bass. In fact, their last film, their last special they produced. And, like, so, Skylar, this was your pick.
Yeah. So this has been something I've known about since the 2000s, but at the time that it aired, I don't think I was aware of it. I don't think it had much advertising. I wasn't able to pull up, any schedules to see, like, what I might have been watching that night instead, or if there was something else happening I wouldn't really remember that well, because this was 2001.
Yeah, that was 2001.
It was a while ago. I might not have the best recollection, but I know that I had never seen it before, but I had always wanted to. Part of the reason is that it's kind of the lost special at this point. There are a lot of Rankin-Bass, like, TV shows and movies that, don't get a lot of play anymore, due to, like, legalities and stuff, and, they have become very, very hard to find. This is not as bad as those, but it's still in a weird kind of netherworld where nobody seems to acknowledge that it exists, even to a point where a couple of years ago, Universal and Warner Brothers had started to use the same home video company. Basically, Universal releases the North American DVDs and Blu-rays for both companies as kind of like one corporation. Because of that, they released a set that was on the box set. It says it is the complete Rankin-Bass Christmas collection. This is not on that set, however. I have no idea who has the current rights to have this special, but it was released on DVD in 2002. I don't know what the company was. It seemed to be a fairly small company. It was also a point where Coca-Cola's name is on the DVD box, and it was presented by Coca-Cola both before and after the special. You see that as like a logo that plays before the special first, and then there's like a commercial with the CGI, I almost said penguins, but polar bears, afterwards. So I don't know if Coke might have a large portion of the rights to this, but it's a weird situation, was part of what kind of drew me to it. And also like the history of Rankin-Bass being holiday classic in general. It is also the last thing they did do, because around the same time they did the poorly received animated version of The King and I.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't recall that film too well. I don't think I saw it in theaters, but that was not great. And this is much more in line with, while I wouldn't say like a Rudolph or a Frosty, it's definitely better and more in line with some of their like B and C tier work.
Yeah, I'm trying to find when this aired, because so just after one of the TV websites I use has like TV airings, and the date that IMDb has is not that they have other things as airing on that day, and I know it aired on Fox, because so literally the version I watched was on YouTube, and it was like from the original airing, and so it had like the station ID in the bottom corner, and of course, because this is post 9/11, it has like the red, white, and blue flag going on in it also.
As every channel did.
Yeah. Oh, wait, okay. It aired on December 17th, 2001, which in the U.S. meant that it aired against Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Celebrity Edition, Weakest Link Christmas Edition, Seventh Heaven, which who watches frickin' Seventh Heaven? The Hughleys and One-on-One, and The King of Queens and The Ellen Show.
I mean, a lot of those shows are things that I would watch periodically, but not really appointment television. So I don't know what I would have been watching that time.
Yeah, ditto. Like, who even? I probably would have had, like, looking at the date, that was probably when my high school choir's Christmas show was. And so that's probably what I was doing that night.
Could have been some sort of party going on, or perhaps a movie came out, I don't know. But as I say, I definitely did not see any advertising for this special, which is a shame, because I think that it really should have done better than it did.
Yeah, because long story short, it got crushed in the ratings. I mean, it was, for its time slot, it was in fifth place. The rerun of Seventh Heaven on the WB did better.
So, okay, if a rerun did better, that must point to them having no advertising behind it. Although if Coke was advertising it or had some sort of thing on it, the DVD, I don't know. Strange.
Yeah. At first was King of Queens, followed by The Ellen Show.
That's the one with Martin Mull, correct?
Yes. But, yeah, so, I mean, honestly, like, it's a special I completely forgot existed. I mean, it has a great voice cast. I mean, Gregory Hines, Vanessa Williams, Patti LaBelle, Eartha Kitt.
This is about 5 years after Where My Backup Singers.
Yeah. And the other interesting production thing that I feel like I have to bring up is that this was co-written by one Suzanne Collins.
Yes.
Who, if you don't know, if that name only sounds familiar to you, here's another hint. May the odds be ever in your favor. It's the writer of The Hunger Games.
Yes. The one of many people that Quentin Tarantino has gone against this month on his latest press tour.
Yeah, well, fuck Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. she was doing a lot of different things around that time than we think of her now, but a lot of it was children's and family television, which seems a bit surprising knowing where, like, the books go. Like, yes, they're still, like, teen books, but it's a very different thing with Hunger Games than a Christmas special with a singing partridge.
Yeah. And, I mean, the bright side of all of this is that, you know, for all of the... I mean, this was also, like, the one special that was directed by Lee Daneker, who she worked as a producer on a lot of Rankin and Bass stuff, plus also other little animated shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, this was her one time actually directing. And then the other writer is Peter Bakalian, who also was one of the writers on The King and I. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, let's not hold that against you. Most of the Rankin-Bass things were written by, I believe, Romeo Mora, something to that effect. And he had passed away by that point, sometime in the late 80s, early 90s. Well, we'll have to, like, you have to make do with who's available. And I think Susan Collins was a great choice. I don't know much about the other person who is credited as a writer, what their other outputs are like. But, you know, some people can have just a bad project here and there.
Yeah.
This Christmas, get in the holiday groove Santa baby. With an all-new animated special destined to become a family favorite. Featuring the voices of Vanessa Williams, Gregory Hines, Eartha Kitt, and Patti LaBelle. Say if you believe it. The musical event of the season. Santa Baby at 8, 7 Central, Fox Monday. Presented by Coca-Cola Classic.
Okay, so, the special opens on Melody Songbird, our narrator, because this is a Rankin-Bass thing, and they do have a formula. She introduces to our location, Heptune Street, where everything sucked a year ago. Precocious kid Dakota is putting up posters for her Christmas program with her talking cat, Emerald. The building super, Mr. Sweet, hates animals and an animal shelter that is in the bottom floor of the building. Dakota finds a frozen Melody and takes her home. Her dad, Noel, is a songwriter and her mom is Vanessa Williams. The bird gets better and is the Partridge from the 12 Days of Christmas who can summon other things from the song. Dakota asks her to help her dad, so Melody makes him a street corner Santa.
Okay, so we've got a few different things here. The opening credits were a bit strange. I had a tough time getting into it at first. It takes about 5-10 minutes before the special really actually gets going. There's a lot. Some of the character designs don't really fit together very well. This being 2001, they were trying to also use a little bit of CG here and there, but there's a weird disconnect with the Rankin-Bass font and having CG buildings in the opening credits, which is really weird to me. What else is here? The incidental music of, like, not all of the scoring, but, like, just here and there kinds of score, like, little bits, range wildly. How did you feel about the music in the first 10 minutes or so?
I mean, it's all right. It feels just like any generic Christmas music in any of these specials. Not any of these specials. In a late 90s, early 2000s animated special.
Right. And that's, I kind of think, the difference, because there are certain points where, it worked very nicely, and other points where it's just like, oh, this feels like it could be in, like, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer or something like that. It's like, So it kind of took a while for me to get going. I know at one point Mr. Sweet also had what I assume to be a reference to Frosty the Snowman, because he refers to the shelter being messy, 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 but I don't think that, like, I feel like it was written to be a reference, but the actor doesn't seem to know that, because it just, the way it's played, it's just like, it's tossed off in just such a strange way. Alicia, the Vanessa Williams character here, when I was talking about character designs, a lot of them are, like, very Rankin-Bass. Some of them are kind of, like, oddly of the time period, like they could have been in Rocket Power or something else that was, like, on at that time. And they don't really fit completely. Alicia, I think, fits the Rankin-Bass style that most of the main characters have pretty well, but she's oddly more buxom than most Rankin-Bass characters. There was Francesca in Mad Monster Party, but I don't know. I sound like a pervert in this way, but it's just like her chest seems more prominent than I expected.
I mean, not to say too much about Vanessa Williams, but I feel like that may have been a no from her, maybe.
I mean, fair.
And, I mean, I completely forgot her character's name is Alicia, because to me it's just like, oh, that's Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, that's fair. There are so many people in this special that, like, they're all such wonderful singers that you expect there to be more singing in it, but it is very nice that, like, they do get a little bit here and there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that may be, like, an issue I have with the special is that, so we broke up the synopsis by commercial break because that just felt like a good way of doing it. The problem is the first 10 minutes or so the special, basically the first like 10 to 11 minutes are the span of the between the beginning to the first commercial break, and then every other one's like 5 minutes or so, but single other segment for the most part has a song and dance number, and this one for whatever reason doesn't.
Right. And it's also like, that's the part of the special that didn't really work for me, was like the beginning. And maybe that's part of the reason is that it's missing that element. But there, we'll get into like the fact that like a lot of the special worked very, very well. And that, as I say, I did enjoy it. Not to show my hand too much, but, yeah, I don't know. I was saying before that I did not expect the special to turn out to be about what it ends up being about. And I feel like you could have actually also spent a lot more of the time in the special that they have going on in the first 12 minutes or so on things that are happening in the last like 10, 15 minutes. Because there's a lot of more interesting things happening over on that end. But if you didn't want to explore those more, you could have had another song.
So, Noelle has... So Melody has Noelle the dad ring the bell and insists it will help him write a song. He's skeptical. Meanwhile, the animal shelter inmates want to get adopted, but also antagonize the super. Anyway, Mom, the cat, and the bird sing Santa Baby at Dad. The bird thinks it helps, but Dad storms off. The bird is defiant.
Besides the like kind of front area where the dad is ringing the bell, there is a restaurant listed on this streets with kind of a broken sign, but it is called Arthur's, which I thought was really nice, named after Arthur Rankin. I think the Pick Me song is really bad. It is the weakest song of the bunch. There is a song in the special where all of the animals of this shelter, which includes a lobster. Yeah. We didn't go through that, but they have a lobster, a cat that is different from the Eartha Kitt cat, a husky,
a reindeer.
That. Oh yes, a baby reindeer.
A pig and an iguana who are definitely not to be confused with Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog.
Right, and an overweight streetwise rabbit.
And you know he's streetwise because he has a backwards hat.
Yes. Very, very strange, a bunch of animals to be putting like in a Christmas special, especially the lobster. But, you know, they work well together, I think, overall. I do think it would be like, strange though, like how many people have lobsters as pets?
John Arbuckle and Homer Simpson.
John Arbuckle has had a lobster as a pet?
Yeah, there's an entire episode segment of Garfield and Friends where they end up having a lobster and then they end up letting the lobster go at the end of the episode.
I do not recall that one. I recall a lot of Garfield and Friends, but not that one. Okay, fair.
But yeah, I mean, so this entire part, this is going to be something I'm going to harp on the entire special. The bird sucks.
Oh, you don't like her?
Like, she is kind of low key horrible.
I mean, she's not really helping the cause in the way you would expect. She's not telling this gentleman, like, how these things... Oh, there was a chicken as well.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I've got the special playing in the background, so that's why I was just like, yeah. So the partridge is not helping to, like, tell the dad how he's going to make a better song by doing all this Santa-ing on the street. And to a certain point, eventually doing Santa-like trials that, you know, you don't really, like, get too much into. It's just like, okay, now we're going to throw you down some venting shafts. And just like, oh, okay, why is this happening? Perhaps she could have been more forthcoming, but I don't know. I didn't mind her. So there have been much more horrible people who have been in cartoons before.
Fair enough. It's just, I was just like constantly like, okay, I get being that magical creature that doesn't want to explain how you're helping, but at the same time, like, it just feels like maybe you're trying a little too hard here.
I mean, she is also kind of seemingly having a little fun with him in, like, a Great Gazoo-ish way. Not too much, but, like, because the Great Gazoo is, like, outwardly, like, oh, calling you a dum-dum. But it's, like, I don't know. I think she's trying to push his button for the big reveal, but it certainly would have been helpful if she tried to explain herself a little bit more.
Yeah. But the other so that said, the trio singing Santa Baby, I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh my god, it's so good. Because they're all such powerhouses. And like, normally that is not a duet or a trio.
Yeah.
I suppose. But like, having each of, you would want to hear Patti LaBelle's version. You would want to hear Eartha's version again. You would want to hear Vanessa's version. And having them all do it together is so mind-blowingly cool. And it just sounds so good.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, there are so many bad versions of Santa Baby. I mean, Michael Bublé, Madonna, and I feel like that's a little mean, but it's the truth.
I don't mind Madonna's, but Michael Bublé's is horrifying. And I like Michael Bublé, but he should not have tried that song. Miss Piggy has had a few versions that are cute, but it's not like something that I regularly spin.
Yeah, and overall, I just am like, this is a great version. It's a good trio doing it, and I feel like all of them have covered it. I mean, definitely, you know, Eartha Kitt. I mean, it's Eartha Kitt's number first and foremost. Everyone else is just, you know, borrowing it for the moment.
Right. I do think it's funny that they're trying their best to also make it less sexual. They're not changing any of the words, but they're just like, through the intention of the scene that it's involved in, they're trying to make it more family friendly, which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah. Let's put a pin, though, in trying to make it family friendly and come back to that a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we pretty much have like what the best song in the special and the worst song in the special in the exact same segment.
Mm-hmm. True.
Okay. So the next morning, the bird has Noelle help around the neighborhood, which ends in cleaning up the park. Mr. Sweet is pissed, then gets humiliated again. Vanessa Williams expositions he was nice up until his wife died. Mr. Sweet wrecks the water in the basement to try to force out the pets.
Which seems like a really big jump. Like, as far as, I mean, it is Rankin-Bass, there's usually a formula. Trying to drown several animals on Christmas is a really big difference than like, oh, I outlawed toys for a few years, or, oh, this monster was growling for a while, or things like that, or just like I don't know, like Professor Hinkle did try to murder Frosty, but that was one magic creature that he had beef with, as opposed to several animals.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like it's a level of despicableness that is hard to do the reverse heel turn afterwards from.
Yeah, and let's take a second. Okay. This is the, I believe this is the first floor of the apartment building that everyone else lives on, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in order to fuck up the water for this, for the animal shelter, you kind of have to fuck up the water for the rest of the building.
Yeah.
And in theory, you are losing everyone's money then, because no one else should probably have water if this part, if like there is no water at the bottom where all the water is coming from.
Right.
So it's literally cutting off your foot to spite your leg. And it's just like the Super is just such a cartoonishly dumb villain, because it's like everyone hates him. And then we're getting the sympathy, oh, he hates Christmas because his wife died, and it's like, okay,
well,
but
yeah, I don't know. There have certainly been some people who that have has happened to in the in real life as well, but I don't know. It is a cartoon. But that is very cartoonish. It's just the way he goes about things.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, like, you're the superintendent of this building. Technically, I mean, unless it is specifically in the lease of the animal shelter owner that she is allowed to keep pets in this part of the building, you technically have the authority to evict her for having pets in the building. Mm-hmm. Why don't you try doing that instead of just wrecking the freaking first floor of the building entirely?
Yes, absolutely. It doesn't make too much sense. But here we are.
Here we are.
He also, like, he doesn't seem to understand a lot of his job, because he was also angry when the people who live in the building were trying to decorate the park across the street. Like, yeah. He has no power there.
Be gone before somebody drops the house on you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and which, mind you, we also have, like, you know, that medley of, hey, here's a bunch of different Christmas songs, and including, you know, rapping.
Well, yeah. They have it, I didn't write down what song it was, but it's mainly one song that they're doing. I believe it's Jingle Bell, but they're doing in different styles. Not unlike the Frankie Valli song being done in Son of the Mask. However, much better done here than in Son of the Mask. I assume you've seen that terrible film.
I have avoided it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's the whole, like, I love you, baby song in Son of the Mask, but because they wanted to have their own Cuban Pete number, and Jamie Kennedy does most of it regular, but then it's like, now it's a Western number, and now it's a rap number, and now it's this, and yeah, it's bad. But yes, when you have, like, this version where, like, a third of it is Vanessa Williams belting Jingle Bells, it's just like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah. This is Vanessa Williams, who, if memory should, you know, remind you, a few years prior did A Divas Christmas Carol.
Yes! So I haven't seen that in a while. I do like that movie.
It is wonderful.
Maybe we should cover that next year or sometime.
Yeah, I mean, we did it a couple years ago for Channel 37, but also...
Oh, right.
I mean, it was me, it was, you know... Well, no, Mike was on the episode also, so, okay, never mind. I was about to say I was the only queer person, and I'm like, wait, no, Mike was there. So, the animal shelter got kicked out of the building. Dakota tries to get her dad to help, but his song got rejected, so he's kind of being a piston for good reasons. He basically tells her to stop caring. She storms off and the bird lectures him. He finds Dakota in an alleyway crying, saying she doesn't love him anymore to the animals.
Yeah, I don't have anything for this break.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, like some of the breaks work well. This one doesn't. It's basically just the, oh, everything is at its worst that you always have to have in these specials before right. Everything gets better. Like, this is your Frosty is melted. This is, oh, Rudolph is going off to fight the abominable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Noelle apologizes to Dakota after saving a kitten and knocking out the power to the block. The community is inspired to rebuild the animal shelter, including Mr. Sweet. Melody then teleports father and daughter to the North Pole, where Santa is laid up. Looks like Noelle is filling in.
When Noelle was trying to save the kitty cat, Mr. Sweet also helps to try to save this kitty cat and says, "Oh, I didn't want them to be like hurt or anything. I just wanted them out." And it's like, you tried to drown them.
Yep.
Why do you feel bad now that this kitty cat that occasionally would rub your leg is about to pass away?
I mean, there's your heart growing three sizes that day. And then there's, oh, well, I just wanted them out of the building. I didn't want to kill them. Really?
It's just like, Are you unaware that your actions do have consequences? Like, what did you think would happen?
Yeah. Like, it's just getting the fruits of the crab apples you sowed.
Exactly. But yeah, the fact that there's 9 minutes left of the special. We've got another Gregory Hines song. There have been a couple small ones, and they've been cute, but this is the big one for him, and it's very nice, as they're fixing up the building. But the fact that it becomes the Santa Baby Claus, in the last 9 minutes of the special is very surprising to me.
Like, literally, just out of nowhere. Oh, by the way, this is also, I could use you to subcontract out to Santa.
Yeah, and like, I understand now why she was doing some of those things, but it was just like, ringing a bell is not the same kind of Santa-ing as the vent falling, and it would have been more fun to see more of those things, so I guess they were trying not to tip their hand about where it was gonna go either, but I don't really see where 1 + 1 = 7.
I don't either, but here we are. Yeah. I will say that the song that Gregory Hines writes sounds a lot like the song that Vanessa Williams sings in Divas Christmas Carol. And I'm not talking about Heartquake. I'm talking about Heart of Christmas.
Okay, it's been a while. I'll have to go back, but I don't recall for sure. I'm sure you're right. You've seen that many more times than I have.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet this season, so I need to get around to doing that. Sure. But yeah, no, like, it's not Heartquake. Heartquake is a bop, though. But it's something you, when once you hear it, you're like, wait, no, they're almost the exact same song, except for somebody they just subbed out Heart of Christmas for Soul of Christmas. And Vanessa Williams isn't singing it. So, Noel delivers presents as Santa, including homing all of the animals from the shelter, including giving Mr. Sweet a cat. Mr. Sweet...
The cat, the little baby cat that he helped save, who he kept on being like, go away, to before.
Yep. Mr. Sweet lets animals live in the building, and everyone is happy, and it's Christmas.
During the delivery sequence, you wanted us to put a pin into something.
Yep. We get a Santa Baby dance remix that is somehow hornier than the original version.
I think she was trying to not, but it's very, I mean, it's Eartha. So, like, that version is just, like, so strange. But it's also kind of a bop. And, yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. It's very strange, though, to hear, Santa baby, sniff a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl. With, like, that kind of tempo. So hurry down the chimney tonight.
I mean, at least it's not, you know, Shirley Bassey doing Get the Party Started.
Oh my god! That's something I forgot about.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I mean, I honestly think if I went out to the club and I heard that playing, I'd be like, you know what? Sure. As long as it's in December. Like, if I heard it in the middle of October, I'd be like, please don't.
Yeah, you know what? Let's start a playlist of, like, this version of Santa Baby, and, like, DJ play a Christmas song, and I'm sure there are other queer Christmas songs we could put on this playlist.
Yeah.
You've heard DJ play a Christmas song,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
DJ play a Christmas song, I wanna be dancing all night long. I apologize to everyone for you hearing the worst Cher impersonation you will ever hear in your life.
Oh, no,
that was bad.
I've heard plenty of bad Chers before.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised with the special as well, that the title song isn't the song that he's going to turn in. Like, I realized that the Soul of Christmas is the, like, emotional number, but it's just like, you've been called Santa Baby by your wife, by this partridge, by the cat, although it's not really, we're not really sure if you can hear the cat.
It's kind of a iffy territory. Who can hear the cat talk and who can't?
Yeah, but like you've clearly heard yourself be referred to as Santa Baby several times. The special is called Santa Baby. I just assume that he would say like, "Oh, this is the new song," but I guess then you'd have the problem of like, "Oh no, you're stealing your wife's song."
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there are so many Christmas specials that are like, this is the story of this song.
Yes.
I mean, have you ever seen the, like, one from the early 90s that's entirely about, like, the 12 Days of Christmas?
I have not.
Yeah, it's like it's an iffy special, honestly. Like there's a point where the because it's basically about somebody a man trying to date a princess, and so he sends his squire to get all these things that he thinks are on her Christmas list, but are actually from the king's crossword puzzle.
Maybe I have seen it. I don't recall, but fair.
Also, I forgot to mention the way they get teleported to the North Pole is via the five golden rings.
Well, yeah, she keeps on as she is, Melody is the partridge in a pear tree. You really only see the pear tree very briefly when she explains why she is a partridge. But every time she does music, or magic rather, it's a section of the song. And I don't understand why she's magic. I don't understand, how she necessarily, well, I guess she doesn't entirely all the time, because when she gets him up on the roof to go into the vents, I don't recall her doing those da-da-da-da-da thing. But most of the times, it's for some reason of we're gonna have the maids a milking for to teach you a lesson about listening to me or something. I just
Oh, you're trying to escape? Seven swans are swimming, getting back in here, and they're flying, not swimming.
yes, it would have been make more sense if there was a little pond or something that came with them, but oh well. So the DVD also advertises the fact that there was a soundtrack album for this special that at the time that the DVD was out was available on CDBaby.com. I checked the website. It is now a different company. It is still about music, but it's more for music distribution rather than consumer stuff. But it is kind of funny that they just, I feel like they picked it because of the name.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the track listing, we have both Santa Baby Techno, Santa Baby Trio, and Santa Baby Club Mix.
Oh, a club mix.
Yeah, which I don't know which version it is that we had in the special, if that was, or if even the club mix is like the ex is basically just an extended version of the techno, because the techno is 3 minutes and 7 seconds, while the club mix is 6 minutes and 28 seconds.
Oh, interesting. Both versions are longer than the one that was in the show.
Oh yeah. Which half these songs I feel like are, your standard, okay, we need to pa we can't just, sell them a 20-minute CD. We have to pad it out. So we also get a God Eartha Kitt singing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Because that works with this title.
Yeah, and hilariously, Patti LaBelle sings a reprise of Heart and Soul of Christmas, but Gregory, which comes first in the track listing than Gregory Hines' version.
Huh, that's strange. I do recall the Beauty and the Beast, the Enchanted Christmas soundtrack album. Most of that is just like the Paige O'Hara Christmas album.
I don't see any problem there.
Well, it's not a problem, but it's just it. I understand why, you would want to pad out the run times to those sorts of things. I got a SpongeBob CD in 2000 that was 4 tracks long, and I was very surprised by that.
Yeah. Or like, when you decide, hey, I'm going to get a soundtrack of the Flintstones, and most of it is like the music is actual songs from the Flintstones, and then it's padded out with, okay, here's the incidental music between scenes. that's in the exact same track.
You don't want to do karaoke to "Here We Come on the Run" with a burger on a bun with a dab of coleslaw on the side.
I mean, I would probably be more able to do karaoke to "I'll Make Your Hubby Happy, Keep Your Hubby Happy." When he's a little chubby, he's a happy pappy.
Oh my.
Which, that definitely hasn't influenced my taste in men at all.
Going back to other Rankin Bass things. Eat, Papa! Nobody likes the skinny scent!
Listen, you know, if it weren't for the fact that Yukon Cornelius is in that special, you know, Santa, you might have been, like, you know, the front runner.
Yeah, I mean, Yukon Cornelius is a nicer man. Okay.
He never decided to shame a reindeer until the reindeer was useful.
That nose!
Any thoughts on the special before we get the scores?
I really enjoyed it. Like, obviously, I had problems with the start, and there are, like, nitpicks here and there, but I think it's very cute, and I wish that it were more easily available, through official means.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just, like, you can find the special easily, like, between YouTube and Archive, and I think you can even, if you feel like renting it off of Amazon, I think you can rent it off Amazon. It's just, you have to search for it, because there's God only knows how many things that, if you search Santa Baby, you're going to get instead, including, like, Christmas movies.
Well, most Santa Babies, when you look up Santa Baby, are Jenny McCarthy. Unfortunately.
Yep.
And so, thankfully, we had this nice, cute Christmas special and not that lady.
Also, as a note, the song, the special is Santa, comma, Baby.
Yes, yeah.
Not to be confused with a Santa who is a baby. Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like, I completely forgot this thing existed until you proposed it, and I was like, yeah, sure. And watching it, it's like, it's fun. This is not the worst thing to be associated with Rankin Bass that ever happened. We've already mentioned the King and I multiple times here.
Yes.
Am I going to necessarily watch this every year? No, because I will fully admit you could probably this could have been shorter.
Well, as I say, like, it could have been shorter, but it could have also fleshed out other areas if it wasn't. It's been a long time since I've seen this, but I definitely think that it's better than say Cricket on the Hearth.
Yeah. Well, I would go so far as to say it's probably, it might be a little bit better than their "Twas the Night Before," their version of "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Oh yes, it really might.
Yeah,
yeah, that's cute, but I did enjoy this one. I need to go back through a lot of the specials to really compare and contrast, but I think that it's as I say, it's better than some Rankin Bass specials. It's certainly better than some non-Rankin Bass specials.
Like, oh, 100%.
How is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer still airing?
I don't know. Well, no. I know why. Because that is 100% owned by Warners, and therefore easily able to be aired on, say, Cartoon Network or the WB for years upon years.
Well, and, like, that special is, like, subjectively bad. I liked it as a child, and I know there's some, like, millennial, like, nostalgia for it now, but it's not very good.
It really isn't.
I've certainly talked about my feelings of that song before, and, how that, like, I had trouble with that song as a kid before the special came out, so the special helped calm me down a bit. But I don't understand how that, like, I mean, I suppose you've just given me the answer, but it's just like how that has become a perennial, not necessarily favorite, but it's still there.
I mean,
while
part of
this
while
this just kind of languishes in obscurity, it's very sad.
I mean, it comes, a lot of these things, it comes down to one, initial ratings, two, did it make any money on VHS, and three, where are the rights? Because in this case, we don't, there's like, so this is like the one Rankin Bass special that's not owned by like those one or two people, and as a result it has languished into obscurity, as opposed to, you know, the, for starters, I hate to bring him up in this, the Nostalgia Critic never did a segment on Santa Baby, but he did do one on Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
I didn't know that. But
yeah.
The
pants off of Santa, that is what he's going to do.
Why do you remember the lyrics?
Because literally that horrible song is the one thing from that special that I have ever rewatched, because it's so terrible, and yet I can't help but enjoy it in the same way that I also enjoy the horrible, like, every Thanksgiving I watch that one song from fucking Glee where Let's Have a Kiki / Turkey Lurkey Time.
Okay.
Because Lea Michele saying Hunty is my sleep paralysis demon.
I did have Grandpa's Gonna Sue the Pants Off of Santa go in my Instagram grid recently. I didn't click on it, but I saw the outfits on Cousin Mel and her lawyer. And I knew what that was.
No pantalones.
At least in Santa Baby, it's easier to find in some ways than some of the Rankin Bass things, like the long-lost Smokey the Bear special. Oh, you don't know about that one.
Yeah,
that was not a Christmas special. That was a just regular, everyday sort of like, we have a TV special because we have time kind of thing. And it gives you the origin of Smokey the Bear, who was known as Smokey the Bear only after his parents died in a fire and he was found by his brother, who said, "Oh, you're all Smokey." Isn't that horrible?
A little, yeah.
Yeah, that was around 64, like around the same time as Rudolph, but I don't know if they quite had the formula down yet.
I don't think so.
Fair. Do you want to rate this?
Yeah, I'll give it a 3. I feel like being generous.
I think it's a 3 for me too. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, well, everyone have a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful New Year's, Hanukkah, no holiday at all. Just have a happy holiday, y'all. Stay safe out there.
Happy holidays. Santa, honey, I want a yacht and really that's not. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa, Santa, when you shake your belly, you make me kind of crazy and I turn to jelly. So keep those funky presents coming and Santa baby, I'll keep you humming. Keep you humming till you fly with those reindeer. Keep a smile on your face till next Christmas year. Oh, come on, Santa, do what you should. I'll keep my promise and be real good. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do. Fly boy.
Our email address is theshow@earth2.net. That's theshow@earth-2.net. Our voicemail line is 513-EARTH-20. That's 513-327-8420. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, we're at Earth_2. That's Earth_2. Please visit the website, www.earth2.net. That's www.earth-2.net. While you're there, on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see a link that says Forums. Click it and join the forums, please. If you enjoy what we're doing and would like to support Earth2.net and Earth2.net the show, there are several things you can do. First, make sure to tell your friends about Earth2.net and all of our podcasts. Second, go to iTunes to leave us positive feedback. Third, you can become a patron of the show by visiting patreon.com/earth_2. That's patreon.com/earth_2. And lastly, donations in any denomination can be made by heading over to paypal.me/earth2. That's paypal.me/earth2. There are no spaces, dashes, or underscores, just Earth and the number 2. Until next time, good night.